Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. Mulan is here. She's here to bring honor to us all, or at least honor to Disney, because they haven't really had a major release this year. So this is their first major release, and it's going straight to Disney Plus. We've got our thoughts on that. As always, I'm your host, Shravan. We have Taran here with us.
Hey, everyone.
We watched it the day it came out on Disney Plus. We paid the $35 Australian fee to watch it. I guess we'll get into our thoughts on it, but did it make a fan out of you?
Oh, no, that's terrible. No, it didn't make a fan out of me, unfortunately.
Because you're not a fan of the live-action remakes in general, right? So this didn't change your mind on it.
I don't like the concept of it. I like Aladdin. Aladdin's probably the best one for me.
I guess later on we'll talk about where this ranks in respect to the other ones as well, because I've got some thoughts on that.
I think the point of the Disney remakes, just I don't like it, because obviously everyone that watches it is sure of it as well, but they're just basically to make money, and there's no there's very little like artistic integrity about it. Do you agree, or do you think?
No, I agree that they're probably unnecessary. I don't think they're all bad movies, like the ones they've come out with. I think they're okay, but whether they actually needed to be made is probably, they probably didn't need to be made. I think they're a little bit unnecessary because they pretty much tread the same lines as the
original. Same story, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for maybe this one, which we'll talk about. I've got a bit of background on the movie itself. So it's directed by Nikki Caro. In terms of her previous works, I had a look at what she's done before, and the only one that sort of stood out was Whale Rider.
Oh, yeah, I watched that in high school.
Which came out in 2002, so she directed that one. She's from New Zealand, so interesting things. I think she's the first female director to direct a movie with a budget over $200 million, and she's also the first New Zealand director to direct a movie with a budget over $200 million after Taika Waititi. She's also the female director that's directed the most expensive film. So in terms of films directed by female directors, this is the most expensive one. So Mulan, everyone sort of knows the main story of Mulan. So it's based on a poem or a ballad. Bit of background on the original Mulan, the animated one from 1998. It's beloved for a lot of people in sort of our age group, but in terms of people in China, they didn't really appreciate it as much because it did deviate a lot from the original source material, and it wasn't quite as sensitive to their culture as they probably wanted it to be, which is where this movie comes in, because I think that's one of the reasons why they did deviate from the original movie, in that it's meant to be a little bit more representative of the original poem.
Okay, but we could talk about it later. But in reality, majority of the story is exactly the same.
So the underlying story is what it is. So it's about a woman that goes in the place of her father to fight in the war. So that is the same. That's the same in the actual poem as well.
The only deviation is maybe some additional characters.
And removal of other characters.
Removal of other characters. Yes, yeah. So it's not, story-wise, it's not any different. It's just slightly different character-wise.
Yes, character-wise, it is definitely different to the original. In terms of who's in the cast, so we've got a full Asian cast, which is good. So I think after Crazy Rich Asians, this must be one of the other movies that's a Hollywood production that's had a full Asian cast. I guess one of the apprehensions that a lot of people had about this movie was that they would not go with a full Asian cast and possibly have white actors in Asian roles, which definitely wouldn't have made any sense. So that's one definite positive for me, is that they did go with a full Asian cast, which is representative of the story. A bit about the actress who plays Mulan in this movie. Her name is Li Yifei. She is born in China, but she moved to America, I think, when she was around 10 years old, and then she moved back to China. So she's actually a Chinese actress, and she does films in China. She's also known as one of the new four Dan actresses of China. So she was named in that list in 2009. I looked up what this actually means. So the four Dan actresses are the four most bankable young actresses from mainland China. So this is...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They must have this group of actresses that they classify every maybe couple of years or something.
They're the best ones.
And she's one of them.
Yeah. What I'll say about her is, I'm guessing English is her second language. Is that right?
Yes. So like I said, she was born in China and she lived there till she was 10. But she did move to America after that. So she did... It's not like she didn't know English, but it's not her first language.
I just felt some of her English lines aren't delivered very well. I kind of put it down to her English being her second language. So, like, it's like one thing learning the lines, but another thing saying it in a different language that you don't know. Well, she probably knows it, but she's not as comfortable with it, I'm guessing. Did you feel the same thing?
It didn't really stand out that much for me, maybe because... It kind of seemed a bit more authentic, to be honest, like, because these are meant to be like Chinese characters. So if anything, the other characters who spoke like perfect American English didn't make as much sense.
Yeah, but if they were going to go completely authentic, then they should all be speaking in Chinese and have it with subtitles.
If they wanted to be authentic, they probably should have gone something like what they did in Black Panther, how they all have that accent, like that African-type accent. In Black Panther. So if they did something like that in this movie, it would have been more authentic.
But, like, she wasn't bad in the movie, but I thought she wasn't great. She didn't have a lot of charisma. She wasn't particularly funny or, like, anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it all on her. Maybe it was just the writing and the way they wanted to go with the character more than her actual performance. But I thought she was good in what she had. There is parallels between the characterization in this movie and other Disney-made movies recently, which we can talk about. The Mulan in this is born a warrior. So without going into too many spoilers, in the first movie, there's a bit of a journey for the character. So she's not like other women in the village, but she's also not a born warrior. So she has to learn those skills. And throughout that animated movie, she grows as a character and she learns those skills and she eventually becomes a warrior. Whereas in this movie, like the very first scene, she's born with superhuman capabilities somehow. Like she already knows how to fight and she can do backflips and all kinds of stuff.
She doesn't have much of a character arc, to be honest. She goes from being a person that is already so sure of herself to being slightly unsure. And then she's sure of herself in like 5 minutes later.
The arc that they went with was that she had to suppress those powers because people told her that she's
not allowed to use her chi.
She was told that she couldn't do it. And then her arc is pretty much that she doesn't need to suppress her powers. Like, she should be who she is, pretty much. That's the arc in this movie.
It could have been a good arc, but it happened so quickly without any real meaning behind it. It just happens.
It's not as rewarding as the journey and the arc in the first one. That's all I'll say. Like, I thought the animated one, you definitely have more of an emotional connection with the character of Mulan. And even the other characters in the movie as well.
The other characters have nothing to do with this movie.
In this movie, they hardly have any play.
You learn nothing about any of them.
The only other character, which is actually a new character that they've added for this movie, is this character of a witch. She gets footage in this movie. I wouldn't say she gets a lot, much of an arc or anything like that, but
no.
She does have a lot of scenes in this movie, even more than the actual villain of the film, the supposed villain of the film. I enjoyed her character because she has some interesting powers. That's one thing. But apart from that, she didn't have anything else.
They spread themselves too thin. They couldn't concentrate on either one of them enough, like the two villains enough, because they had two of them. And you don't get enough of any of them in the end. And in the end, she kind of has an arc, but it happens so quickly without reason as well that you're just like, you don't care.
I guess we'll get on to our main positives and negatives of the movie in a second. I've just got a little bit more background. In terms of the other characters that they've added and removed from this movie, one notable one from the original, and a lot of people like this character, is that of Mushu, the dragon, her sidekick. He was removed from this movie, and he's replaced by, I'm pretty sure it's a metaphorical phoenix. I don't think it even really exists. We'll talk about it more in spoilers. The character was mainly removed because of the reception that it got in China, so the original movie's reception in China. So they didn't really warm up to the character of Mushu. They didn't think it was very authentic, so they removed it from this movie. The other thing that they removed was, well, what they did was they actually split a character into two characters. In the original movie, what's his name? The commander.
The commander.
The one who's in charge of the training, and her love interest in the movie was split into two characters in this movie. So there's a character that's part of the training. So it's part of that cohort that Mulan's in. And then there is the character played by
the Ip Man.
Donnie Yen, yeah. So he's sort of like the main commander, the main trainer of that camp. Again, both of those characters don't really get much of a play, to be honest.
It's funny, this movie's a half an hour longer than the other Mulan, but for some reason it feels like less stuff happens than the other Mulan.
The other thing that's been omitted from this movie is the music. Mulan was a musical. A lot of good songs, actually. Like, I was re-listening to all the songs. I wasn't that close to this movie growing up, but it's got some memorable songs. So it's quite a big deal for them to actually not have songs this movie, because that could have really pulled on the nostalgia of the viewers of the original film, which is what all the other live action adaptations have done. So Beauty and the Beast, they kept all the songs. They even added some extra songs. Lion King was just a shot-by-shot remake. What others have they done? Jungle Book even had songs, even though for that movie they probably didn't have to have songs the way they went with that movie. They've always kept them as musicals. This is the first one that they've purposely deviated from it, and that was because they felt that they wanted to do a more... Again, it was going back to that original poem, and they wanted to be more faithful to it. And since they wanted to go down more a realistic route, they thought having songs in the movie would probably play as speed breakers rather than it would probably hurt the flow of the film. And they're probably right. I mean, I didn't really need songs in this movie the way it was made.
I don't know. Maybe would have enjoyed it more if there was songs.
Well, one thing is this movie is, they did go a realistic route, but it does take itself very seriously. There's not much humor in this movie. Maybe they would have added moments of levity that this movie probably required. Coming to the release of this film, obviously it's had a very problematic release schedule. It was initially meant to come out on the 27th of March, and then obviously global pandemic hit, and it's been delayed, 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 and then finally Disney made the decision to release this on Disney Plus, but not for free. You have to pay an extra fee to actually get it. There's people on both sides of the argument on this, but a lot of people didn't like that you had to pay extra for a movie on a streaming service. But the way I see it is there's a lot of movies that are released straight to VOD as well, and you have to pay for them. This is a brand new movie, and this is arguably the most expensive movie ever to release straight to VOD. I think it probably is, right? I don't think it's unreasonable to expect people to pay a little bit more for watching this film. Well, firstly, you have to be a Disney Plus subscriber to get this movie, so maybe that's why people didn't like it either, because you couldn't just buy it if you wanted to watch it. The other thing is, once you had it, you could watch it as many times as you want. So, I mean, here in Australia, if both you and me went to watch this at the cinema, say we watched it at, you know, on a VMAX screen or a big screen, probably would have cost us like $30 each. Paying $35 and then having the whole family to watch it, it's probably not really a bad deal. And it's a brand new movie, and at the moment you can't go out. So it's not a bad option, in my opinion. I know people are not happy about it, but I just don't think it's Disney didn't really have much of a choice with this one.
But saying that, look, if it was a better movie, I'd say definitely. With what it is, just wait till it becomes free to watch it, in my opinion.
Yeah, so apparently it will become free to watch on Disney Plus.
It comes free in 2 months, so.
In 3 months, yeah, in December. So if you really don't want to pay for it, I mean, no one's forcing anyone to watch this. I mean, it's really up to you. So if you can wait, then just wait till it becomes free on Disney Plus. One more point on the subscription service and the revenue they need to generate to actually break even for this movie. So apparently they need around 13.8% of everyone that's currently subscribed for Disney Plus worldwide to buy into this movie. And that's about 8.4 million subscribers. So it remains to be seen whether they will get that number.
It will make its money back because it's getting a theatrical release in China. It will do gangbusters in China. It's got a full Asian cast. It's got big names in it. People in China will love it. It will make lots of money there. So it'll probably make its money back. It's got a theatrical release in America as well at some places. So it'll make its money back. It's not all going to be Disney Plus.
This movie was really tailored for the Chinese audience. I mean, the lead actress is a famous actress in China, so they'll definitely get the numbers in China to make up for any shortfalls in the rest of the world. Let's get down to business, and we'll talk about our positives and negatives. I'm going to sprinkle Mulan song puns throughout this review, and you have to kind of figure out when I did it. I've already done two, and they weren't very good, obviously. Positives. I thought the movie was visually pretty good in terms of the locations that they shot at. So this was actually shot in New Zealand. Some of it was shot in China, but most of it was actually shot in New Zealand. So that's where you get all the picturesque locations in this film. CGI was a bit wonky in places.
It felt like do you know when you watch those Chinese action movies and the CGI is a bit wonky, but it's kind of meant to be like that? It felt like that for me, which I think will play well in China as well, but I didn't mind it. I thought it was all right.
So I think the biggest positive for this is that it is a big budget movie. Like I said, it's a $200 million movie, and you can see they've spent the money pretty well. So it looks, visually it looks very good. Costumes are very nice as well. Location sets, they all look quite good. Like I mentioned earlier, I think the casting is also strong in terms of they've got big names.
When you say strong, you just say big names. Strong casting is when they cast the right person for the right character, though.
Yes. Well, I think that the way to frame it is they've got marketable actors for this movie. They are good actors in other movies. Maybe in this one, they just didn't get as much play. I think that's the main thing. And the other thing is obviously they're all Asian, which was good to see.
No, that's good. Yeah. There's lots of good actors in this movie that they cast pretty well in their roles. It's just they don't have much to do in their roles.
Other positive, which I've also mentioned briefly before, is that it isn't a shot-by-shot remake of the original, which I kind of appreciated. Whether this needed to be made anyway is another matter, but since they decided to make it, at least they did something a little bit different. And I was just going to say that the eagle character, the witch character, was an interesting addition, I would say. Like, they could have explored her character a bit more. Her backstory might have been pretty interesting, but I thought her character was good. That's my last positive.
Her character, like the concept of her character was good, yes, but the execution was, yeah, I agree to that. Your positive, the last positive that you had, it's kind of a negative for me as well, but it is a positive as well. At least they tried to deviate from the original, which I respect. But the problem I had was every time they deviated, it was actually worse than the original. So all the parts that are good in this movie are just the parts in the original movie. And all the parts that are bad are the parts that they tried to deviate, in my opinion.
They tried to make this into like a war film as well. It's like it's more of an action war film than what the original was anyway. The original was more of following Mulan's character, and it wasn't really an action-heavy film from what I remember anyway. This is definitely more on the action side. I like that they deviated. I know what you mean. Like, some of the stuff they did deviate on, it maybe they shouldn't have. Like, for example, they have this character, the witch character, that can turn into a bird, an eagle, but they didn't want to put in a talking dragon. Like, they thought that would be too far to go. I mean, they went halfway there pretty much. So I don't see why they couldn't have kept Mushu.
Yeah, if they're gonna keep the movie grounded, then don't have a character that can turn into like a million birds or whatever.
yeah. I mean, that was one of my negatives, because they did deviate. They didn't have to keep Mushu. Maybe they did have this Phoenix character that comes in and out, but it seems like that character can only be seen by Mulan. I don't think anyone else actually saw that character, so it might just be something
it's not clear, but
yeah, something that she sees. So it would have been good to just have that sidekick sort of character, because like we said, there was a lack of humor in this movie. Like, it was very serious.
There's lots of points in this movie where Mulan's by herself and can't talk to anyone. And it would have been good to have a character that she could have talked to that also had some humor. Didn't have to be Mushu. Could have been anything. But it would have been good to have a sidekick type of character.
In the original, she's got Mushu. She's also got that cricket that follows her around as well. In this, I think that they've made that character into a person, because there's a guy called Cricket. I don't know if you've picked that up, but one of the guys in the crew are his name was Cricket. Yeah, like we said, none of the characters are really memorable apart from Mulan, because she is the main character. But again, she doesn't really have much of an arc. So I tweeted this out as well, and I put it in the Instagram post that I did. But it kind of leaves a bit of a hollow feeling, the whole movie, because it's not bad. What they've done is fine. It's not terrible. Like, we're not here trashing this movie. It's not like some of the other movies we've reviewed, but it's just there's just nothing there to like connect with. I think that's the main problem.
Like, it's competently made. The story's pretty good, given that it's a retread of Mulan, but it's still pretty good. Just the characters just have no, their motivations are vague and their arcs are very sudden.
The only other negative that I would say is this is, like I mentioned before, it is an action-heavy movie, but at the same time, it's light on violence. Like, it's these people should be, there should be blood at least. There wasn't even a drop of blood in this movie.
Do you think it's an action-heavy movie? If you think back to it, until the last half an hour, there isn't much action. Think about it. There's no action until the last half an hour. Yeah.
But there isn't. I mean, it's not up till when Mulan's character sort of has a turn. And then after that point onwards, it's all action. But that is like the last half an hour of the movie. It's just the way that they've shot the action is like, it's meant to be like an action movie. Like, it's like this stylized action, stylized war scenes.
It reminds me of a Chinese action movie, the last half an hour especially. There's like people running on walls and kicking swords into each other and stuff like
kicking
that.
Kicking arrows and, yeah. But despite having all of that stylized action, it's kind of safe. Like, it's very safe. Like, the stakes aren't there. The other thing is the stakes in this movie, you never feel like Mulan's going to, because she's born a super warrior, you don't feel like anything's going to happen to her.
She's never in danger. No, she's never in danger.
Whereas in the first one, she had to grow to that level. So you kind of felt like she would probably she could have died, really, in the first one, even though it was an animated movie, but yeah.
And even the side characters, they do this stupid thing at the end where they're like, oh, one of the side characters is dead because he's, like, in the hallway and he's, like, slumped over. And then 5 seconds later, he's like, nah, he was just tired. He's getting up now. He's fine.
Yeah,
like,
that was
the point of that?
That was the cricket character, I'm pretty sure. Overall, I'm a bit torn on this because I feel like there's a lot of work that's gone into this movie. Like, it is a high budget production. You can see that a lot of people have put their, you know, passion into this movie, like they do in a lot of movies. But given our current circumstances, I feel like it is not a bad movie to watch, like with your family, if it's something that you're interested in. But at the same time, if the character had a bit more emotion, if there was just a little bit more emotion in the movie in general, then I would have recommended it. But I would say if it's free on Disney Plus, definitely watch it. I reckon it's worth it if for free, no doubt about it. But paying that extra fee for it, maybe at this stage, is not quite worth it.
This is one of those classic movies where I feel like it's made by a bunch of people in a boardroom and they're like, what's going to make a lot of money for us? Let's remake Mulan. Let's put all this stuff in. Let's play to the Chinese audience. This will make us a lot of money. Let's do this. No one like spent years trying to cultivate this story and like had this idea and felt like, oh, this might be a really good movie. It's not like Christopher Nolan, where he thought of Inception when he was 18 or whatever, and he's like, oh, this will be a great movie. I want to make this. It's a bunch of people in a boardroom that are like, this will make us a lot of money. Let's make this movie.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But a lot of movies are that as well.
Even the Marvel movies, which you could say some of them in particular are probably just a bunch of people saying this will make us a lot of money, I think they all still have some form of the director or the characters kind of wanting to do something particular with the character. I feel like there was nothing in particular in this movie where they're like, oh, we want to do this with Mulan, which is different to what we did with Mulan in the original.
Clear difference with Marvel is that they do make the movies for money. No doubt about that.
No, every movie's made for money. That's a sure thing.
Yeah, in terms of the people they get involved for those movies, they tend to be pretty passionate about the characters and they actually want to do something with the story and with the characters. So, I mean, maybe we don't know what happened with this movie. Maybe it started out as being like that, but in the end, this is what we got.
Saying that, it's still a competently made film. And if you like Mulan, you'll probably like it. I just wouldn't spend $30 on it to watch it. If you're on the fence about it, don't spend $30 to watch it because you'll hate yourself for doing it. I'll wait till it's free.
If this released in cinemas, do you think this would have done better? Like if we didn't have a pandemic?
I think it's going to do as well as it probably would have done with or without the pandemic because of China. It's going to play well, really well in China. I think if people spent money to go watch this in the theater and bought a ticket for themselves, like a $15 ticket or whatever, they would have disliked it more.
Possibly. Possibly. I think a lot of it is also the current situation, and maybe people are just more appreciative of just anything at the moment, anything that they can watch. I think this movie would have done really well if it actually did come out in cinema, just based off previous live action releases that weren't even as good as this one that did better than they should have. So like Lion King, I mean, Lion King is different because a lot of people grew up with that movie, so everyone just watched it. But Beauty and the Beast, I thought it was average at best, to be honest. It was just a remake of shot-by-shot remake of the original. It was fine, but it was nothing groundbreaking, and that made over $1 billion. So I think this is similar to that.
Yeah, this is probably maybe as good as Beauty and the Beast, maybe worse than Beauty and the Beast. Kind of on that level, though. It's nothing spectacular. It's okay. If you've never seen Mulan before, you'd probably go in and watch this and be like, yeah, this is really good. But if you've seen Mulan before, it's not treading any new territory.
That's the thing. So if you didn't know Mulan, and if this movie wasn't even called Mulan, it was called something else, do you think people would probably like it more?
If it wasn't called Mulan, no one would watch it, first off. The only reason people are watching it is because it's called Mulan. What was your first question? Was that your question? If it wasn't called Mulan, would people like it?
Yeah.
No. No, they'll think it's a bland movie with zero character motivations where people just do stuff.
I think you're probably right. So because it's got that, the Mulan tag to it, it's probably, it's definitely got more of an audience, but I think people probably appreciate it more because of the memories they have of the original movie rather than this movie, just based off this movie. So if it was just another, not Mulan, but just a movie, I don't think it would have done as well as it probably will do.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, so we'll quickly do some spoilers if there's anything we want to talk about.
There's a couple unintentional funny parts in this. I don't know if they were unintentionally funny, but they were funny for me. The one part that's probably not meant to be funny, but it definitely was, when the witch lady dies. Yeah. So she goes from being evil to, for some reason, being good in 5 minutes. Did you understand why? I didn't.
No, I didn't really understand. So throughout this movie, there's kind of a parallel between Mulan and her, because
they're both women who are slightly different.
Yeah, they're slightly different, and they're like, people won't accept us. Like, and Mulan's like, well, they've accepted me, so you know they can accept you too. So and then she just turns.
It could have been a good arc, couldn't it? If they did it well, it could have been good, couldn't it?
I think it could have been good. I just didn't buy her turn in her character. But
for some reason, she turns in 5 minutes. Yeah, the bad guy kills her with an arrow. While she's a bird.
I mean, she could have just waited, because Mulan obviously has some pretty good skills with like kicking arrows.
She probably would have
dodged
it anyway.
So I think she would have been fine. I mean, we didn't talk much about the other characters. So Jet Li is the emperor.
Yeah. So this is the other unintentionally funny moment. I didn't realize that Jet Li was the emperor until you told me later. They kind of hide it with the makeup. You can't really tell.
Well, maybe that's just how he looks now. I don't know. I haven't seen him for years.
But at the end, the bad guys try to shoot Jet Li with an arrow, and Mulan's like unwrapping he's like tied up to this post, and she's trying to unwrap him. I'm like, why is she trying to unwrap him when the guy's shooting him with an arrow? Just like, go stop the guy first. But then she unwraps his hat, the guy shoots the arrow, and then gently catches it. I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, where did this come from? And then he chucks the arrow in the air, and then Mulan kicks it into the bad guy.
Yeah, it was an interesting turn of events. I'll just say that.
None of that made any sense to me.
The thing is, it didn't make sense, but it was, at least it was interesting. Like,
it was interesting. Yeah. It was interesting. Yeah. I laughed. I thought it was hilarious, and I quite enjoyed it, but it didn't make any sense.
At least it ended on a high note. I'll just say that. It wasn't what the rest of the movie was kind of like either, because it was kind of like realistic, but then all of a sudden she's doing backflips and kicking arrows into people.
And then before that scene, Jet Li as the emperor, who's meant to be like 80 years old or something, he's meant to be really old, and he's just taking down blokes in this, like, these guys come and try and ambush him, and he just takes out all these blokes. Like, what the hell is going on? This is before I knew he was Jet Li.
Well, he did say that he killed the father of the guy, but he's meant to be old, I'm pretty sure.
He's meant to be the same age as the father of the guy, isn't he? And the guy looks at least 40, so he's got to be at least like 60 to 70. Yeah. Do you reckon there's a clause in Jet Li's contract saying that he has to do some action and he has to win the action in every movie he's in?
Fast and Furious style, like the contracts that those guys have? Maybe.
But anyway, I found those 2 points hilarious, and I enjoyed them. That's all I had spoilers-wise.
Yeah, there isn't much to spoil. The underlying story is the same as the original, again. I guess the only other thing is they do kind of set up a sequel for this movie, in a way, because they want her to come and join the Emperor's army or something, right?
There is a Mulan 2. I haven't seen it before.
There is a Mulan 2, and I've seen parts of it, but I'm pretty sure it's not what they're going to be doing. Because in Mulan 2, I think she's just like in a village or something.
Yeah, that's a sequel I do not want to see. I do not care for.
Well, so far they've only done a sequel to Maleficent. I think that's the only one that's done a live-action sequel to. Well, I guess we could talk about where this stands in the line of live-action remakes. So there's obviously Maleficent, Cinderella, Jungle Book, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, and this. For me, Jungle Book is probably the best one, mainly because of, again, I don't think that's even because of the story. I think it's just because of the visuals for that movie. It was quite spectacular. And I think the one that's the most underrated, and people don't even talk about this one, is Cinderella. I think that's actually pretty good. I think it's one of the best ones, actually, in terms of the way they did it. Kenneth Branagh, directorial. In terms of the other ones, I think the worst one is probably Lion King. I mean, surprisingly, it's probably Lion King, because they didn't do anything new in that one. And the ones that sit in the middle is probably this one and Beauty and the Beast.
I only seen Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, and Maleficent and this, actually.
And Aladdin's actually not bad. I would put Aladdin.
I think Aladdin's the best one out of the ones I've seen, and the rest suck.
Okay.
I'm trashing this movie too hard. It's not a good movie. It's a okay movie. But if you're going to take a beloved property, I guess Mulan's beloved-ish, and remake it, do you want it to be okay or do you want it to be excellent? I think you probably, if you're going to remake something that's already pretty good, you want it to be better than that rather than just making something okay.
The two movies that I said that were the better ones, Jungle Book and Cinderella, they're both movies. I think Cinderella, the original, was made in 1955 or something, so it's one of the oldest ones. And Jungle Book was made in the 1960s, so they're both old. So it's probably sort of time for them to be remade, I guess. It's not like they're recent. The other ones that they've done, so Beauty and the Beast was in the 90s, Lion King was in the 90s, this one was in the 90s, and Aladdin was in the 90s. I think they're all too recent, and they're already good movies. I don't think you needed to remake them.
Yeah, in my opinion, if you're going to remake something, you either have to have an idea to improve it, or the old one's dated enough that the ideas in it need to be updated, which I think Cinderella, like, the ideas in it need to be updated, and it's not as relevant anymore. And the same with Jungle Book. With all these movies, they don't do any of that. They don't they don't improve on the original in any way. If I was to choose between watching this or watching the cartoon, I'd watch the cartoon.
Yeah. I mean, Mulan, the original is definitely better than this. Lion King, I don't think anyone's going to argue that the original was not better than the latest one. And same with Beauty and the Beast.
I would even say with Aladdin, I would probably watch the original more likely than I'd watch the remake. I don't think with any of these, I haven't seen Cinderella or Jungle Book, but the cartoons aren't great. So probably I'd rather watch the live action ones. But for most of the ones I've seen, I'd rather just watch the original cartoons.
So which ones do they have coming up? So they've still got some more in the pipeline, right? So they're doing Little Mermaid.
I think Little Mermaid has enough scope that they could make it a better movie.
So Little Mermaid was right on... It was kind of the first of those Renaissance... They call it the Disney Renaissance films of the 90s. So it came out... It was the first of them that came out. I think you're right. Maybe they can make it better. I think visually they could do something really interesting with that movie if they wanted to.
Even character wise, I think the female lead in that movie is very passive, and I think they could do something better to improve that
potentially. What other ones do they have? They've got, I think you told me that they're doing a Robin Hood.
Are they doing Lilo and Stitch? Is that something I've made up, or are they doing that? I'm pretty sure they're doing it.
Well, Dumbo isn't one we didn't mention. I haven't seen Dumbo. I heard it wasn't
I heard great. It's not great.
All right, so let's see what they've got on this list. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this one. So they're doing a Cruella de Vil movie.
Oh, yeah, with Emma Stone, that's right. Nut pass.
I mean, that's not really a remake. I think that's more of like a Maleficent style thing. Little Mermaid, which we've discussed. Then they're doing Pinocchio.
Pass. It has the scope to do something new with it because the movie's really old. If they just do the same thing, then it's going to be boring.
Peter Pan.
They remake Peter Pan every year. Like, it comes out so often. They did that one called Pan recently. That was shit.
Apparently, Jude Law is in talks to play Captain Hook.
Yeah, well, Hugh Jackman played Captain Hook in the other one and people hated it, so.
Snow White. They've done a lot of Snow White movies, though. But Disney hasn't. So Disney actually hasn't done one yet. And Snow White is the first animated Disney movie, so I mean, maybe there's definitely stuff they can modernize from that movie for sure. The Amazing Spider-Man fame Mark Webb is going to direct it. Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Don't think it's necessary. Well, none of these are necessary, but yeah.
Hunchback of Notre Dame, that I've watched that movie a long time ago when I was a kid, but I just remember it being very dark, even for an animated film. So I'm not sure what they're going to do, because most of these live action movies are darker than the originals, and they're going to do a Prince Charming spin-off, which is the Prince from Cinderella, who was played by Richard Madden in the Cinderella movie. Robin Hood.
Once again, a movie that's been done a million times, unless they do it with the foxes again. Then
yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to do. Are they going to do like a fox version of it?
Yeah, I don't know. If they don't do the foxes, then... Watch the shit one that came out a year ago or whatever.
With Taron Egerton.
Yeah, with Taron Egerton.
And Jamie Foxx. Hercules is also on the schedule.
Not necessary. Do you know what Hercules I would watch? I would watch the Marvel Hercules, because that's actually something different.
Or that one with The Rock?
Nah, that's shit. I've seen that. It's no good. Yeah, true. They've done two Hercules movies and both of them are shit.
Bambi as well?
Oh, no. No one wants to watch that. Look, with all of these, the sound of it sounds really bad to me. But look, if they come up with a good idea and they somehow find a way to make it better than the original, then fair enough, do it. If they don't, then don't do it. But they'll do it anyway because it's going to make money.
Oliver Twist. It's based on the animated movie Oliver and Company, which I haven't seen. James and the Giant Peach. Tinkerbell, apparently with Reese Witherspoon. Directed by Elizabeth Banks. I think these are all I don't think any of these are confirmed.
I think this is just speculation at this point, yeah.
Yeah, Sword in the Stone and Lilo and Stitch. You were not wrong. Lilo and Stitch is on the schedule. That's a lot. That's more than I thought, actually. I thought there was only Little Mermaid and a couple of others, but that's quite an extensive list that's coming up.
Out of all the stuff that Disney does, which look, they do a lot of stuff and Disney gets a lot of hate these days. And I can understand why, because they make movies like this and then they make movies like Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker as well. I still like the Marvel movies, even though they do have an element of this kind of boardroom made movies to them, but I still think they have some form, like we said, they've got some form of let's do passion. Something new with the character. Yeah, passion. Yeah. But on the grand scale of things, most of the stuff that Disney makes is passionless these days and pretty terrible.
I did mention at the very start of the episode that this is not the first time that they've done a character that is just awesome from like the first scene. Star Wars has done it with Rey. I think arguably Rey was always awesome. Like she was never in trouble from the beginning to the end. So this kind of reminded me a bit of that. Same a little bit with Captain Marvel as well. In that movie, she was pretty much invincible from the beginning.
I think at this point, I'm done with Disney stuff. Well, not done. I'll still watch them, but I'm not excited for any Disney property other than the Marvel ones, which arguably I could not be excited for if they stuff up the next phase as well.
Yeah, I mean, with Marvel, it feels like it's so long ago. I've kind of forgotten about Marvel a bit. Endgame kind of felt like the end, to be honest. If they stopped it there, I wouldn't really be arguing too much, but they are doing other stuff. So Black Widow is coming out soon.
And it could all just be a cash grab, which, look, all of them cash grabs, but it could be more of a cash grab, which just, yeah, puts me off Disney pretty much. If you asked me like 2 or 3 years ago, I would have said that Disney's doing really good stuff, but what they've done over the last couple of years have just soured my taste on them.
My question, I just thought about this now. So if Tenet was released straight to streaming, like Mulan has, with the same price tag, would you buy Tenet?
Yeah. Look, any new movie that is a big blockbuster, if they release it straight to streaming, I would buy it, just because I like watching movies. But I think the general fan, maybe not, would... I don't think the general fan out there would probably not buy Mulan, and the general fan would probably not buy Tenet as well, the average moviegoer. But I would, because I like movies.
Yeah, I think we're probably a different breed. We'd probably buy anything, any movie that comes out, any decent movie. I mean, we're not going to buy, like, Trolls World Tour or something. We're not going to buy that.
But saying that, I think Warner Brothers is doing better stuff with movies than Disney does at the moment. So I'll probably be more likely to buy a Warner Brothers thing.
I think that's questionable. I mean, what have they done that's good in the last 2 years?
Tenet.
Which we haven't even seen yet, but yeah.
Apparently it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Last 2 years, what have they done that's good? Wonder Woman was pretty good. Aquaman was pretty good. Lots of people love Joker. I think it's all right, but Joker.
Apart from the DC stuff, I don't really see anything else that they've done that's good.
All the Christopher Nolan stuff is Warner Brothers, so if you like that stuff, then yeah.
I don't think that's Warner Brothers. That's just Christopher Nolan. And Warner Brothers just likes to work with Christopher Nolan. Well, they both like to work together. But I don't think that's Warner Brothers driving those projects.
Yeah, but it is a Warner Brothers picture, yeah.
I mean, I was watching Godzilla, the one that came out last year.
Which was okay. King of Monsters, yeah.
Yeah, but I was just thinking, I mean, this is off topic, but that movie is going to look very dated in like 5 years because of how CGI heavy it is. I was watching that at the same time I was watching Christopher Nolan movies where he uses a lot of practical effects. And that movie is so CGI heavy. Like, it already looks not great, to be honest. But in 5 years, it's going to look pretty bad because of the amount of CGI in that movie. But anyway, that's a different topic.
But what you're saying is basically that any studio movie without a good like passion behind it is just going to be shit anyway.
Pretty much.
And I agree to that. Any studio movie that's just there to get money is not going to be great. But I think Disney does more of it than any other movie franchise at the moment, but any other movie studio, especially because they've basically bought everything.
I think the reason they can do it is because they just keep making money on these movies. Like, they don't need to try, pretty much. They can just do it and it'll just rake in the cash, which is a bit sad.
But the public's opinion on Disney is souring. Some of it's stupid, like all the Last Jedi stuff, which I think is still a decent movie.
Rise of Skywalker is not a decent movie. No, Rise of Skywalker is
not a decent movie, though. Yeah. So I think the public opinion on Disney is souring, and it's not as good as it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Well, what I'm trying to say is I kind of wish movies like this didn't make that much money, so they had to do something different. But it's going to make money, unfortunately. I would put the Marvel movies in a different category, but all the other Disney stuff, I wish they didn't make as much money because they're just going to keep making this.
So, including Star Wars as well?
Including Star Wars, yeah.
Okay. I think that's all we had to say about Disney taking over the world. And also, we did a review on Mulan earlier in the episode. I don't know what our next episode will be. Okay, so in terms of what's going to release, we're going to have a series on Christopher Nolan, which we've already recorded, so they'll be out soon, and hopefully we'll get to watch Tenet at some time. But based on some announcements that have come out today in our state, it's probably not going to be till December, unless there's an early VOD release or something like that. We're probably not going to get to watch it for some time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But we'll talk about other stuff. I think there we were planning to talk about, if there's appetite for this sort of thing, Sherlock Holmes, because there's Enola Holmes movie coming out in September on Netflix, starring Millie Bobby Brown and Henry Cavill as Sherlock Holmes. I didn't know that there were actually a series of books not written by Arthur Conan Doyle.
Apparently Netflix is getting sued.
Because of that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about
the
that.
Sherlock Holmes. We could talk about the Sherlock Holmes episodes, but yeah.
Yeah, I heard it. I heard something about that, yeah. Okay, cool. So if people want to get in touch with us and tell us what they think about the new Mulan, how they go about it.
So you can contact us on email at cognitiverecalibrationpodcast@gmail.com. Twitter handle is @CRecalibration, and we're on Instagram and Facebook at Cognitive Recalibration.
And please do give us a review on either Spotify or iTunes, because that makes us more discoverable on search engines. A lot of you would watch YouTubers that always ask for click the subscribe and the thumbs up button. So the equivalent for podcasts is kind of reviews, so it kind of helps with the algorithm, and we get people will be able to see us more when they search for certain topics. So please do give us a review if you can. If you want to support the podcast even further, we do have two avenues for which you can do that. So one is Amazon affiliate links. So if you wanted to buy the original Mulan on Blu-ray, which I'll link in the description for this episode, you can do it through our Amazon affiliate link, and we'll get a bit of a kickback. On top of that, you can give us a one-off donation through a service called Buy Me a Coffee, where you can give us a dollar, and we'll use that to further develop the podcast. Another thing is, I probably should have said this when we first started the episode, but while you're listening to any of our episodes, if you could just screenshot your Spotify app or your iTunes app or whatever you listen through, and just share it to your Instagram story and just tag in Cognitive Recalibration, that will help us a lot, because then we can kind of spread the word and get as many people as we can listening to these episodes. All right.
That's all we have, yeah.
I'm trying to think of if I can fit in another Mulan pun, but I don't think I can.
And we're all the better for it.
It's not a movie worth fighting for. That's all I'll say. She's a girl worth fighting for, but it's not a movie worth fighting for. That was not good, was it?
No. Should have left it on a high.
All right. Okay. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.